Going back to being proactive with our digital devices, if you can help us with some suggestions how we can do that, that's an uphill climb, I think, for some of us.
Well, I'm thinking about my own use and reflection on my own use. In thinking about it, how I was using the technology, I had the Facebook app on my phone along with 40,000 other apps, and I found myself just kind of randomly and frequently going there with my phone, and I really didn't. It wasn't serving me. It was clear that it wasn't serving me, and that more that I was serving the app at that point. And, understanding that the app designers designed it that way to be really compelling to kind of if I, especially when I'm feeling stressed, it's a way to relieve my anxiety, for example. And this is certainly true for a lot of our young people. And so what I realized was that I needed to amp up my self-calming strategies, in non-digital ways. Taking walks, maybe I need to do more exercise when I'm editing and the piece is really challenging, or writing something that's really challenging, get on the exercise bike or take the dog out for a walk. And I think that these are things that as parents we need to model with our kids, and help them to understand how the devices are designed to keep them on the app, for example. So in that moment of awareness, I took it off my phone, and I talked to other people who've taken Facebook off their phone. I wasn't opting out of Facebook. I find Facebook really useful for many things, and it's not without issues. But I try and make those conscious and talk with other people about those issues. But taking it off my phone was a really great qualitative shift in my life. Along with that, another change that I made was, when I'm looking at a video on YouTube that I've gone to intentionally, there's a setting that just brings up the next video automatically. And that's an intentional design to keep people on the site longer. And I changed that setting so that it doesn't do that. These little tiny tweaks can really make a difference. And to help our kids to understand and to drill down into the dashboard in a sense and realize that they can make these changes, but to be looking at those things, to be not just using the tool, but really looking underneath at how the tool is designed. I mean, with Facebook, recently, Facebook has really been a lot in the news, because of some of the data breach things that have happened, serious data breach things. So people are really thinking about it a lot more than they have been. But I think that these are the kinds of, and the reason that I brought that up is because people probably rarely are really reading what they're agreeing to. And so I think, as a part of like a regular family conversation about technology, get out your phone and look at the settings and look at the privacy and see what you have turned on. Do you have your location turned on automatically all the time? Do you see where the button is where you can actually switch off that location service, so that you become more choiceful in how you use these instead of just letting it happen.
I'm thinking of a quote that you have helped me to plug into, and that's also from Tristan Harris. And he says, there are thousands of people on the other side of the screen whose job it is to break down the self-regulation that we have.
Yeah, so which just becomes really important when you have a tween or a teenager who are, you know, really working at self-regulation. So I think it's incredibly important for them to understand that they've got people, you know, like designers who are paid really well, and that's their full-time job to kind of put chinks in your own abilities.
And I'm thinking of the Greek myth Odysseus as he's sailing by the sirens and their call, and to not succumb. He went to great lengths not to succumb to the siren call, and he lashes himself to the mast
right.
of his ship so that he wouldn't be tempted to
yes.
answer their call. And so that's what you're talking about. It takes that kind of, it might take that kind of proactive effort on our part to say, hey, this is a siren call. It's very seductive. It's very tempting. And it's also, is it distracting us from our purpose, from our values, from what it is that we want to accomplish?
Well, I think that's a good place to talk about how, by just kind of defaulting to this idea of screen time and saying to our teenager, for example, okay, you've got a half an hour that you can use your phone or your iPad, that is not, in my opinion, really supporting them and gaining the skills that they need to navigate in this world of 24/7 technology. We've talked about modeling conversations with ourselves, a reflective conversation, and modeling that in the family as well, where we learn how to talk about our technology use with each other. But at the same time, another thing that I think we need to be modeling is valuing our own solitude, that quiet space where we're not just going to the easy, you know, scrolling through Instagram. And so understanding the role of solitude in our creativity and in our being able to be really social. It's one of the things that I appreciate the most about Sherry Turkle's work in her book, Reclaiming Conversation. She makes the connection between being able to be alone, which is really, along with, you know, the outside life, I think are being able to just truly be at peace with being alone at times is another vanishing thing. And so are we modeling that as parents for young people? How are we modeling dealing with our stress? Are we using the phone to calm our stress down, or do we have other techniques that might be a little more valuable in the long run, like learning how to use our breath? I mean, there are some great apps for that, to kind of check in with yourself and maybe take a 3-minute mindful breath, or I'm a big fan of just being learning how to do that. There are some great organizations like the Mindfulness in the Schools has been starting to, for some years now, has been helping kids to learn how to use more of their breath and relationship to their bodies to understand, to become aware of how they're feeling, and to have some tools to be able to change that in a more positive direction if they're stressed out. I'm also thinking of a group, the group Inward Bound. I'm a big fan of them. They do retreats with young people. And I just love the idea of Inward Bound, you know. Mm-hmm. Outward Bound's not bad either, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm thinking also with, let's say, communicating, learning to communicate, authentic communication. And there's such a temptation to message someone, and this is kind of a shorthand communication. It's only so many letters and so many words, and so we send that off, or even Facebook, usually a picture or something, or a link or something, and we say some things, and that's all very nice. But I'm just wondering, what about these deeper conversations that we may be missing out on and maybe falling out of our culture, especially within families and culture in general?
Well, I guess that's why I'm such a big fan of conversation, a proponent of conversation, co-creative conversation in the family. Sherry Turkle's done some of the best work on that that I've seen in the Reclaiming Conversation piece. And again, there are some great videos of her talking about that work if you don't read, if you don't have time to read. But I'm also thinking about the work by Dana Boyd, and she has a book called It's Complicated. And Dana's a researcher for Microsoft. And what Dana has done is gone out and talked to hundreds of teens. And I think it's really important to understand how that teens are using these tools for sociality, in really positive ways. And Dana does one of the best jobs of illuminating that. And, you know, we can get lost in there in, we're vulnerable. All of us are vulnerable, I think, to trying to make the perfect post or, you know, comparing ourselves to other people. But those are the topics to be talking about in conversation, but not talking at our kids, but really talking from our own experience, you know, like, how is it for me when I see a website by this, by this author, and what comes into play when I compare my website to her website or my photo to her photo. And this is the skill that I think we need to develop, is really coming from a personal place and thinking about what our relationship is with all the different technologies, because there are so many different ones. That's going to help our kids.
I'm here with Claudia Lamoureux, and she is the founder of Mindful Digital Life, an educational consultant. And you're listening. I'm Justine Willis-Toms, and you're listening to New Dimensions. Here with Claudia Lamoureux, the founder of Mindful Digital Life, and she's an educational consultant. And Claudia, I'm reminded in your book and also in your blog, you have reminded me of someone with whom we've had interviews in years past, poet David White. you use this quote, you brought up this quote that I just love because I think it's pertinent to what we're talking about. David says, the ability to ask beautiful questions, often in very unbeautiful moments, is one of the great disciplines of a human life, more fulfilling life. So what would you have to say to that?
I think it's a core practice that helps us in the move in the direction of a mindful digital life, cultivating this practice of asking beautiful questions in David White's sense of it. A key thing that as a parent to be modeling with our kids, because, you know, what's the difference between a beautiful question and just a question? And I think that a beautiful question is a question we don't really know the answer to, whereas we tend to kind of ask our kids, if we do ask them questions, we ask them questions that we think we know the answer to.
And sometimes a very accusatory sort of questions, like,
right,
why did you stay out so late? Or, you know, so, I don't know, I'm just making that up. But,
or,
you know,
do you think that spending 4 hours playing that game is really good for you?
Yeah, right. You know, whatever. Yeah, it's like,
so,
but to be really curious.
Curious is the key word, I think. Yeah, like cultivating our own curiosity, you know, and the beautiful question idea, I think it helps us to cultivate that, our curiosity, because I do think that we can lose our curiosity around the technologies and the new technologies. We're all working really hard today, and, you know, there's a lot of pressure on families, and, you know, parents are validly concerned about technology use and how, you know, there aren't enough hours in the day. And I think it's important to create these opportunities and kind of a family practice to go in there together and ask what are our beautiful questions as a family. You know, what do we care about? What are our values as individuals and together as a family?
Who was it? I can't remember. Someone who, it might have been Robert Thurman.
Mm.
It might have been Robert Thurman, the Buddhist scholar, who talked about that the parents at the table, instead of saying, what did you learn today, the question of the day at the dinner table was, what question did you ask today in school? And I just thought, oh, wow, okay, that's a very different take. Not what did you learn today, but what question did you ask today?
Yeah, that's nice.
So what questions are we asking with deep curiosity?
Mm-hmm.
And again, what do we value? Well,
yeah, thinking about, like, really having the conversation around curiously asking what is it that we care about, and trying to get more and more clear about that. It's not like you're just going to pin it down. It may continually be changing, but to have that be an important part of the conversation, almost like a core part of the conversation, and making those values visible somehow, like almost like a family mission statement sometimes, I think about, as a way to reflect, you know, then when you are reflecting, like, is that serving me? I think that making those values clear as individuals and as a family is really going to help us when the 80,000, 550,000, 10 million distractions come our way. It helps us to keep the course. I mean, I'm not saying you never go off on this little side trip here. I mean, serendipity is a beautiful thing. But if you're always, you know, in serendipity, you might not really be doing some of the things that you in your heart really believe are important for you to be doing here. I mean, there is a lot being asked of us today, and it's easy to just spend 5 hours, you know, scrolling on Facebook. And that I doubt if that's really going to lead to the kind of feeling that we want to be feeling. You know, there are times when it's a wonderful thing. You know, I can see some photographs that my friends are taking on their trip in Scotland. It's awesome. I can kind of, you know, connect with them. But it's not serving me when I'm there for because whatever challenges are facing me are overwhelming, and I don't really know in that moment how to bring my attention to go into that space. So.
Well, I know for myself, Claudia, one of my values is friendship. Mm. I mean, I've written that down, and I get very, very immersed in my work and doing these interviews and researching and preparing and running an organization, a nonprofit organization. And it takes a lot of time and energy and focus. And yet I know I might, there might be something that comes in that has to do with this value I have of friendship. A call might come in, or a letter, or something that someone's, a friend of mine, is going through. And I have to stop and say, what do I value right here? Do I need to take time now to live my value in this moment? Or do I just sort of override it and just go back to my other world? And that's where we make these, we get these choice points for our values. And how do we then maintain, what suggestions do you have for us to maintain our participation in fully in our value system?
Well, I think you gave a great example. I mean, you took the time to identify that friendship is a value. If we don't take the time to identify what our values are regularly, because, you know, our values are going to
shift.
The priorities around the values. Yes. So something at a certain point may become more important. Then it's going to be really hard. We're just in the soup. And so, I mean, I'm thinking of Howard Rheingold, who I really appreciate, an early internet pioneer and educator and artist. And Howard wrote the book Net Smart, which is a great book I can recommend. And one of the points that Howard made that really got my attention is how he keeps his goals right there on his screen, on his computer. I keep mine, you know, I have the daily goals because being someone who makes their living working online a lot, there are a million distractions, and I have to keep my daily goals right in front of me
and visit them
maybe 50 times because the distractions are so profound. There's so many of them, I find it's really critical to have these schedule, these opportunities to reflect more deeply about technology use and where I'm trying to, where, you know, what I really care about in the world.
So in this final 1 minute we have, is there anything that you want to say to help us bridge that to be present in the moment?
Well, somehow what I'm thinking in the final moment of our conversation today, Justine, is just how much I care about this planet that I share with other people. And I think that as, you know, beings of this planet, all of us have that within us. And, you know, there are a lot of challenges today, and technology can play an extraordinary role in helping us to understand what some of those challenges are and helping us to share solutions. And I think that, you know, it's really important to explore together and shine a light on who's doing really good work, who's created some technological solutions or non-technological solutions. I mean, you can bet they're being shared online. That is our connected creative space today. And so I think it's really important to always keep, you know, be looking for the beauty, the positive, and to illuminate that and seek that out and share that with other people, and especially with our kids. And to look for what the kids are doing. Look with curiosity and honor the insights that they have, and learn from them too.
Claudia, I want to thank you so much for being part of our conversation today.
Really beautiful to be here and have this opportunity to go into this and think about some of the beautiful questions.
Thank you so much. I've been speaking with Claudia Lamoureux, and she is the founder of Mindful Digital Life, and she's an educational consultant. Her website is claudialamoureux.com, and she spells her name Lamoureux, is Lamoureux. claudialamoureux.com, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. She has blogs and lots of resources. Check it out. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3643.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over 4 decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org. Or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hi, I'm Rick Hansen, author of the new book, Neuroderma. Next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about new science, ancient wisdom, and 7 practices of the highest happiness.
As a part of Capture Festival, the Polygon is excited to announce part 1 of Danny Gall's epic work, Historical Records. Featuring 246 LPs arranged chronologically from the years 1877 to 1989, The work has been dubbed a history painting and chronicles speeches and interviews of those who were in power, others who objected to this power, of war and peace agreements, human rights struggles, and other radio broadcasts of the events that shaped history. The exhibition includes a listening station with access to Danny Gall's most recent works for radio and the full sonic archive of historical records. Along with that, there's a book available where the artist deep dives into the almost disappeared phenomenon of sound documents. Admission is donation-based, and if you want to learn more, head over to thepolygon.ca/exhibition/Danny Gall Historical Records.
Myself, for the second time in the lives of most of us, we are at war.
You're tuned in.